this is emotion art. Emotion, because I found out I'm literally made of emotions, and I navigate the world with emotions. And art, because all of that navigation, all the experiences, all the interactions, cause and effect, every piece of it feels like art. Emotion art. I've always really liked having conversations with people, but once I started recording them, I found out that the act of recording changes the conversation. It gives it weight. It gives it immediacy. It makes it happen in the present. It's like the conversation becomes a little bit more real. I really like the conversations that happen when I hit record. The truth is, I'm also more present, and I process verbally. Most of the processing I do that's conscious happens when I speak. I also do a lot of unconscious processing that I only find out about after the fact, but I really enjoy the processing and the learning that happens when I sit down and have an intentional conversation with somebody. And even if it's about them, everything they say causes a reaction in me that I can look at, and I learn about myself. I really enjoy that stuff. I'm podcasting these conversations for you guys, for my friends and family. I really haven't been very visible for a long time. I want to change that. I just want to give anyone, I want to give them an opportunity to peek into my experience if they want to. I also want to podcast these conversations for my fellow explorers and searchers, sometimes one, sometimes the other. Who knows? Maybe they will find some new language to describe some of the stuff they're learning or exploring. Another reason I want to podcast these conversations is because I love having them. I'm so hungry for just open, honest, fully present, and sometimes deliciously uncomfortable conversations. Conversations about life, the universe, and everything, or conversations about emotions, how it feels inside. What are your reactions? What are my reactions? What's the perspective? What does the world look like from behind that lens? I want to put these conversations out into humanity because I think maybe it'll attract more conversations. That's what I want. I really like people. I really like talking to them. I like seeing what's underneath all the layers and masks, all the worldview layers. The real person always ends up being totally unique and breathtakingly beautiful. So that's why I do this. I started with the very first recording that I made, which was a part of a conversation I had with Nowhere. And I'm continuing with part of a conversation I had with James, my second oldest son. I know he's 14 because he's just about to start driving in November. That's a little bit terrifying, but I'm excited for him. He and I have really interesting conversations. So I just wanted to sit down and record with him and just kind of see what happened. And I like how his brain works. I appreciate the presence he always brings. And I think the conversation was interesting. So here it is.
I like having conversations sitting down with people, like right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Why do you like to have the sitting down conversations?
You're not really in a rush to do anything. The person's not in a rush.
Presence. Just being here. That's my favorite thing. That's what I do when I meditate. Yeah. Except instead of being here with another person, I just be here with myself.
Self.
So it's like I'm two people. I'm one person that's having all the thoughts and all the feelings. And I'm also another person that's just observing all the things that happen. It's imaginary. So are all my other thoughts. They're made up out of whatever thoughts are made out of.
Oh, question. Do non-living things, like, feel, I mean, like, trees, they don't have eyes, or they can't touch, feel, anything, but they're still alive. Can, like, a chair or a rug do that?
Something that is non-living biologically. That's a interesting question, because on the one hand, it's an easy no. They don't have a nervous system. There's no organic process there.
Or skin, or it's just wood.
And it's also dead.
Very dead.
Maybe there's other ways to sense than that we know about. I feel like the answer is yes. Do you want me to really go where my mind went with an answer? Because it's pretty abstract.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's why I think that chairs and tables can sense.
Let me get comfy.
You get comfy. I'm going to try to keep it super short. I've never been able to, though, before, because it's talking about something I don't really understand very well yet. So I just end up talking a lot in circles, and that's very confusing to people. But it's actually my brain is trying to understand what I'm feeling. So I think that everything is made out of the same substance. Call it God, energy. Lots of people have lots of different names, but I think that underneath everything, there's something that everything is made out of. And I think that that something is an energy that is awareness. The pure awareness I have that's looking out of my eyes is the same awareness that's sensing the seasons change in the trees, that's looking out of the deer's eyes. I think there's the same awareness that's behind it all. That awareness is also behind the chair. It's what it's constructed of.
It's aware that we're sitting on it. Like, it's aware.
I don't think that a tree is aware that you cut it down. Its awareness is not like our awareness. What makes sense to me is that you see a tree change its leaves in the fall. It's doing that in response to a stimulus of all the changes that happen in the environment around the tree. The tree senses, and then it has systems that respond to it. I don't think a tree thinks in the same way that a dog thinks. I don't think a dog thinks in the same way that a person thinks. I don't think any of them think in the same way that a chair thinks. It's just totally different, but that's what feels true to me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Half makes sense.
It half makes sense to me too.
And then half makes, just can't touch it. It's out of reach from you, isn't it?
It doesn't feel like it. The words are.
Yeah, the words are.
It feels very, it just feels simple. It feels so simple to me.
So say a tree has a very slow sense because it's really big.
I mean, what about a bonsai tree? What about a very tiny tree?
Very tiny tree? We might have a different sense because it like wraps around the wire and those real big trees don't.
Yeah, they do. Have you ever seen a big tree with a power line running through it?
Oh, yeah.
Wraps right around it. If you were as much bigger than a human is from a bonsai tree, then you'd be able to shape it slowly over time and you'd be able to conform that tree in any way you could do a bonsai.
Oh, wait, my mind's blown.
What about a bush?
Would that still be a tree because...
Or
a flower.
Or a flower.
Can flowers do that?
Venus flytraps react extremely quickly, faster than humans. When a fly triggers the trap, it senses it and it processes a reaction very fast.
Like a flower.
Or a morning glory.
Yeah, they open up when the sun feels the sun.
Or a sunflower.
Felt the sun.
All day. How?
I don't know.
Is it thinking about it?
I think it likes it.
That's what it's programmed to do, is like the sun.
Don't sunflowers look like the sun?
A little bit. Do you think they're called sunflowers because they look like the sun?
Definitely because they follow.
Because they follow. I think the word for something that follows the sun is heliotrope. So a heliotropic plant is a plant that follows light. I think that's true.
That's interesting. I also have another question. I've had a lot of people ask this. Do you know what the fourth dimension looks like?
Oh boy, you do have interesting questions. I've heard time talked about as a fourth dimension. So the example being, you have a notebook, piece of notebook paper, and you push a pencil through the notebook paper. A piece of notebook paper has depth, so it is three-dimensional. But in this context, we would look at the paper as two dimensions and the pen as three dimensions. So if there was a being that lived in two dimensions on that piece of paper, they could only move in two dimensions, side to side and up and down. And they can only see in two dimensions. So they can only see this direction. They can't see out this direction. It doesn't exist in their world. There's only two dimensions.
Everyone would be so flat.
It would be flatter than flat. It would have no depths.
So you wouldn't see it.
So if you turn sideways, it would completely disappear. It wouldn't exist because it has no...
It has no width.
Has no width. If you took a three-dimensional pencil and you stuck it into the two-dimensional world, now the two-dimensional beings are walking along their little sidewalk. Now the pencil's sticking in there and they're walking along and all they see is a line. To them, that's what the pencil is. It's a line. And as you slide that pencil through, they just only see a line. But that line starts to change. Like if there's writing, it'll change color. And so the two-dimensional beings are trying to figure out what they're seeing there, and they're trying to make sense of it. So they're telling stories about it or whatever. We can see it's a pencil. It's just a pencil, but they can't see the whole thing because they only exist in the two dimensions. So all they can see is the part of the pencil that's in their two-dimension space. Now, let's just imagine that the piece of paper is our dimension. We are the three-dimensional beings that live in the little flat three-dimensional piece of paper, because if a four-dimensional being was talking about us in the third dimension, they'd be like, oh yeah, it's just flat. And it would make perfect sense to them. Yeah, three dimensions, it's that right there. Now they take one of their four-dimensional objects and they stick it into our three-dimensional world. And we're only able to experience it as whatever it looks like in the third dimension, only one part of it. That's why I've heard time is the fourth dimension. So somebody who is in the fourth dimension can see all of the things that haven't happened, the things that are happening now, and the things that already happened. They can see it all at the same time. It's just a pencil.
Oh, no, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's messy to me, too.
Wait, time?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a fourth dimension and a fifth. And a 500,000 millionth. Like, we can sense that there are things outside of our ability to sense, like in quantum physics and stuff, or even just use a microscope. So it makes sense to me that there's other dimensions. If there's three dimensions, why not more? Our brains wouldn't understand it, so I can't really explain it better than that, because I don't understand. So maybe I should have just said, I don't know.
Yeah. It's dimensions.
Dimensions. Way in over my head. I'm going to keep talking about this stuff with anyone who wants to and see what things I hear. And maybe one day it'll make perfect sense to me.
Well, I have also another question.
Great.
What would happen if we actually use all of our brain?
Assuming that we don't?
Yeah.
What is it like?
We only use like 25% of it.
Or I've heard even 10.
Would we know what the fourth dimension looks like? Or the fifth? Or the 50th?
What does our brain do?
It thinks.
It collects data from our senses, right? And it interprets it.
Yeah.
When I touch your leg, the sensation from my finger goes from my nerve endings in my finger that can feel sensation, and it goes through my nerves into my brain, and my brain collects the data first, whatever the raw data is, there's no explanation to it, and then it processes it into James's leg. Warm, he's probably not dead, he's not screaming, so it's probably not bruised.
So it's like very advanced.
Whatever information my brain wants to take from it.
Or very advanced technology.
So if we were using all of our brain, it seems to me we'd be able to collect and process a lot more information.
Like, I can see that you're having a stroke.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day. I mean, like, you can obviously tell when someone has a problem.
Yes, because your eyes and your ears and your nose process the data you're getting.
You make it more.
Or send the data to your brain, which collects the data, processes it, and puts it in all the different category boxes that it's made up for over your whole lifetime. So that it can then decide what information is important, what information it can ignore. Most of the things you experience throughout the day, you are not aware of it. Most of it. Because I think it's way more than 90%. If you think about all of the light photons and different colors and different sounds and textures and shapes and smells and all the things happening in your body, every single thing that your brain is able to glean any information from, it would be overwhelming.
Yeah, I see that.
The interesting thing about that question, though, is that then that makes me think anything that does not, if it does not directly contradict the laws of physics, with enough information, humans could do it. Anything.
Really?
Hmm? I'm saying that's something that appeals to me as a good, I don't know, I like that idea, I guess.
So like...
It makes sense to me.
So you're saying like, so humans can't physically go light speed because...
That we know of.
Yeah, because it defies the laws of physics.
We may learn something next year that completely changes our perspective of what the laws of physics are. That happens constantly in science. Every theory that comes eventually gets developed and built up and modified, and who knows what knowledge we'll have in 100 years that makes our current understanding of the laws of physics
would be
incorrect. We don't know everything. We only have the knowledge we have, and every day humans all over the world. Every human, every day is adding to the knowledge that we have.
Really,
but I mean, like, I mean, like, if you're trying to take something that somebody else has made and then like make it better, make it do something else, or use it for something completely different purpose and modify it so that it does this other thing that no one even thought of, you're adding to the general knowledge pool. If you do a bunch of research and write a paper.
Okay, I've seen it.
We're just talking. I don't know that we're adding to any knowledge.
Nah, I bet we are.
Who knows?
I bet we made history.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
I feel pretty historical.
Feel like.
The other thing that comes to my mind about that is the saying, sufficiently advanced science is indistinguishable from magic. If you are smart, if you figure enough things out in science, you can do what to somebody who does not understand that feels like magic. If you were to get in a time machine and travel back to caveman and take your phone out and turn the flashlight on, do you think that would feel like magic to them?
Yeah.
Everything that's happening, your clothes would feel like magic. Everything happening would feel like magic because it's not anything they've ever experienced. How do you even process that shirt? They would think that you were some sort of that was your skin. You only know what you know if you get far enough with science. It's going to appear as if you're doing magic.
Would they think of me as a god?
I don't know. You want an interesting story about this? Read the book, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. I'll find it for you. It's about some factory worker or something from Connecticut that ends up somehow traveling back in time by accident into King Arthur's days. And he basically sets himself up as a magician. And he has a revolver and a rope and a lighter. So he just has a few things that he had on him or in his pocket. And then he's like, wait, I'm back in King Arthur's days. I know all kinds of things these people don't know. So I'm just going to...
And a lot of money.
Yeah. Then he and Merlin are like, because Merlin is the magician and he doesn't want anyone to take away his popularity, you know, his limelight. So he's always trying to mess with this guy. I don't remember his name, but.
Is it like a book?
It's a book. For some reason, I think Mark Twain wrote it, but I'll look.
But it wouldn't be in the short stories. Or is it a short book?
Pretty short book. It's not a short story, but it's a short book.
I would read it.
We'll see if we can find it. Well.
That was interesting.
How do you feel?
I feel knowledgeable. My brain just boosted up 2 more percentages.
Fantastic. I appreciate you sitting and talking with me.
I appreciate you listening.
Great.
GG.